18th meeting of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules to order. Good morning, members. This is the conclusion of a very, very long week for this committee. I want to thank all of you for working so hard, diligently, and in good humor to get everything done this week. And I will open a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 53. And Mr. Stembridge.
Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, HJR 53 urges Oregon businesses, investors, and investment managers to refrain from investing in companies that do business with the Islamic Republic of Iran. It expresses support for the people of Iran, wishing them a prosperous and safe future.
Thank you. And this resolution is brought to us by our very own Representative Thatcher. So why don't you come forward and tell us about it?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kim Thatcher, representative from Kaiser, St. Paul, and Newburgh, and today I bring you House Joint Resolution 53, otherwise known as Divest in Iran Bill. It calls for Oregonians to divest their investment holdings in Iran and the companies that do business there. Now, first, let me point out a few significant highlights in the bill, and then a couple of observations on how passage of this particular resolution will make Oregon one of the leaders in a national movement against terrorism. The resolution spells out all the problems going on in Iran, how the country victimizes its own citizens, including sexual exploitation and human trafficking, and how it has been designated as a state sponsor of terrorism. It talks about how Iran's support for terrorist activities has led to the death of American soldiers because Iran is giving certain factions weapons, personnel, and money, and that it's been one of only five states on the terrorism watch list for the past 25 years. We see on 1 minute the president of Iran talking about having nuclear bombs, and the next he's taking British sailors hostage. The resolution recognizes the only way the Iranian regime can survive is with the help of foreign investment. That outside support allows Iran to continue to keep its citizens in fear of their lives and threatens peace across the Middle East and the globe, for that matter. The legislature asks in the resolution, quote, Oregon's business community, individual investors within the state of Oregon, and state investment managers to examine their portfolios carefully to determine if they have investment holdings in foreign companies that have substantial interests in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Resolved, we, quote, support their efforts to move toward a government characterized by self-determination, tolerance, divergent ideas, and freedoms of expression. If we as a state approve HJR 53, Oregon will become one of the leaders in this national movement. There have been 8 states so far that have adopted divestiture legislation or are well on their way to doing so. Missouri was apparently the first state, and California will probably be the next in line. HJR 53 is more of a policy statement than an actual mandate. This resolution encourages Oregon private businesses, our government entities, and other organizations to cancel out their Iran out of their investment portfolios. There has been concern that this would be meddling in foreign affairs, but I don't see it that way, but rather as making smart choices about where to invest our money. We should not do business with companies that might be supporting a terrorist regime like Iran. Yes, we want the best rate of return on our investment funds, but at what cost? We just shouldn't be investing in those who would do harm against us. Simply put, free people want to invest in freedom. I don't think the constituents in my district want their tax and retirement dollars invested in a country that wants to blow up America. If we went for a stat, there was talk of doing legislation to mandate this, and it was difficult to implement it if we tried for a stronger law. And I talked to before this hearing, I spoke with our Oregon State Treasurer, Randall Edwards, and that's why I'm proceeding with a resolution. We considered a total divestment law like we had in the 1980s, banning state pension fund investments in South America, or South Africa, let me make that clear. And we had a movement to protest genocide in the Darfur region of Sudan just a couple years ago. The problem is we don't really have a list of the so-called bad guys, and that's the problem. The companies that are propping up Islamic Republic of Iran, there's no bad guy list like there was relating to South Africa. We need to wait until the federal government comes up with a specific list of businesses allowing Iran to maintain its reign of terror. Missouri has contracted with a company which specializes in this sort of work, and I think we should monitor their success. Maybe that's something Oregon would want to do in the future. In the meantime, the state treasurer, Randall Edwards, has offered to work with me on a letter to Congress, urging them to get this list together and get it out as soon as possible. It's hard to know who's who when there are thousands of companies investing in the global marketplace, multinational companies moving money in and out of accounts every day, as fast as the speed of light, literally. It's kind of complicated. And we're not talking about a chump change just as it relates to the state. If I understand how the treasurer's office works, without even looking at the private sector investments, just the state investments are in the neighborhood of $75 billion. And that's just the investment division of the Oregon Treasurer's Office, which includes the Oregon Public Employee Retirement Fund, the State Accident Insurance Fund, the Common School Fund, the Oregon Short-Term Fund, the Growth Account Fund, and several other smaller ones. We, as state diplomats, have an opportunity here with this resolution to send a message, and the message is we don't want to invest in terror. Divest Iran. Every time a business invests in Iran, it allows them to get stronger, increases their ability to develop their nuclear capability, and other consequences. We worked closely with members of the Iranian American community. Unfortunately, they were unable to make it today. One is traveling. Golia Mary, who ran for Congress a couple of years ago, was traveling. Otherwise, she would have testified by phone. But we wanted to make sure that the language was effective and respectful. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I urge your support of HDR 53. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Thatcher. And members, you should have in front of you a letter from the Treasurer's Office. Representative Thatcher referred to her conversations with them. This letter expresses gratitude for her attitude and also, I think, expresses neutrality on this bill. So. Okay, well, great. And I see that now Representative Flores has also joined us.
She's on the next bill.
Oh, you're here for this bill. Our next bill. Okay, so are there any questions on HJR 53? I don't see any. Okay, well, thank you very much for bringing this to us.
Okay, well, I'll see you shortly.
Yep. Definitely. Okay, and is there anyone else? Doesn't look like there's anyone else in the room, really, who wishes to testify on HJR 53. So I will close the public hearing on HJR 53 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2603. Mr.
Sandberg. Madam Chair, House Bill 2603 directs the Legislative Administration Committee staff to install and maintain links and other material on individual member web pages of the Legislative Assembly website as directed by the individual members. We have brought a notebook computer down here that is set up on the legislative webpage. Representative Thatcher, it has a wireless mouse. Should be working well. So.
Thank you, Mr. Stembridge. And we have both Representatives Thatcher and Flores here with us. We're delighted to see you this morning. And please tell us about this legislation.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, long time no see. I'm glad this bill was assigned to this committee. It seems like it fits the name perfectly well. It has to do with following the rules where it concerns potential elections and ethical violations. And I thought we could start this morning with a little show and tell. All right, I'm going to activate the... I'm having a difficult time here.
Would be you want to look at member webpages?
Yes, and I'm usually...
I think House. I would click on House.
There we go. Yeah. Sorry, I was blanking. I usually get into this.
There you go. And then there's an alphabetical listing. There you go.
All right. Who should we pick on first? I'll just pick on myself.
There you are.
Yes. Nice picture. I don't know why that's there still. Okay. This is, as soon as it comes up, I'll show you a hyperlink. Here's a hyperlink. What the heck is the bridge over the Willamette River in Salem? What's that about? So you click on it, and it actually has a link for the bridge crossing in Salem.
I should have that on mine.
Yeah, you should.
It's not even in your district?
No, but it affects my district very well.
It's in
a
mine.
Year ago,
but I thought
it connects the districts.
Yeah, it does. A year ago, we weren't allowed to have these hyperlinks on our legislative web pages because there's all kinds of chaos and controversy going on over what we could and couldn't use for links. And we'll come back to the website later if you have any questions. But first, a little background. In 2005, my staff attempted to post a news release on my legislative website talking about how I was encouraging members or people to get involved with the Smart Reading Program as volunteers. Sounds pretty harmless so far. But wait, the news release contained a hyperlink that wasn't authorized under some kind of policy used by Information Systems and the Legislative Administration. Representative Greg Smith tried to use a link to the Boy Scouts. That wasn't approved either. So we started asking questions and looking around at other legislative websites at the Capitol to see what other people had posted. We found links such as to Blue Oregon or the Democratic Party, Blaine County, and even a link to a member's campaign website. And I think we can see how some of these could be a little questionable, might violate state law. Anything, one thing led to another, and by late March of 2006, all the websites were torn down, and only the contact information was put up back for each member. So that's all you had right there. No news releases, just a little bit of
contact.
Nothing. Just contact information. We learned there was really no written administrative policy governing the content of technical links to websites. Legislative administration and leadership offices got several legislative council opinions on the matter to try to help them sort through this mess. The legal advice from legislative council was that links to government websites were okay. Anything else was pretty much off limits. But at the time the websites were taken down on March 23rd last year, there were nearly 1,600 links posted on the 90 members' websites that were not related to government. Most of them very useful. Things like Chamber of Commerce, links to local food banks, MapQuest. There were stories in the paper about the situation, and I got an email from the constituent. And this person said, banning legislators from posting links set a bad precedent of censorship and abridges free speech. I encourage our legislators to post responsibly in a way that shows you are interested in helping Oregonians make this a better world. Okay, fast forward to June of 2006. The Legislative Administration Committee met to look over a new policy regarding legislative websites. The policy was basically what LC recommended, nothing but government links. And I can't remember if it was you, Madam Chair, but I wrote down a comment that was stated by one of the committee members at that meeting, called the policy draconian, paternalistic, and punitive. And there were a lot of unanswered questions, and the committee chose not to go forward with that policy. And I'm just going to turn this over to my partner in crime here, Linda Flores. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Thatcher. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I am Linda Flores, State Representative for House District 51. And I guess, in fact, that this burning issue has drawn such a large crowd, I'm very pleased to kind of and elaborate on the problem, the crime, if you will. I was monitoring the hearings last year, and our staff, our shared staff at the time, Don Phillips, was very personally involved in the discussions and the various issues surrounding what we should and shouldn't do with our legislative web pages. The testimony from legislative administration was that they researched various web links, and they found around 1,000, over 1,000 potential conflicts with elections or ethics laws, but only 8 were clearly political in nature. And by the way, as far as we know, there have never been any complaints, and since this is a complaint-driven process, we intend that it will stay that way under this specific bill. At the time of the meeting last year, we indicated and assured that we would be coming back with a bill to address the issue in this legislative session, and here we are, as promised. We knew we wanted to have a bill which made the buck stop with each member. The legislators should be held accountable if they allow something unethical or illegal to be posted on their website. And we knew we wanted a bill which exempted staff from any liability. A couple of weeks after the meeting last summer, legislative administration put out a memo which basically did just that. Now, all of you have had to sign this particular document. Do I have to ask permission to use a visual aid?
That's fine.
We would like to get a copy of it.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah, I do believe it is in the packet material that is or was distributed for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so since you've seen it and you've once you did sign off on that particular form, your staff and employees in the information system, legislative administration, etc., can post the items you want on your website. And if something's not right, you, me, the legislator, is the one that's, I don't know if they're going to jail, but certainly held accountable and responsible for the posting. And that is intended to be a temporary step when they did issue this particular document for us to sign until something more permanent could be developed. We're hoping you will approve this House Bill 2603 to give us the permanent solution in statute. Let me just give you a couple of observations. Other branches of government, including dozens and dozens of state agencies using the Oregon.gov website and other sites, have links to all sorts of places. It's an information tool. And so do other elected officials, including our governor and our secretary of state and so on. We talked to Department of Administrative Services folks, and the only policy they have regarding links to other sites is that they should be scrutinized closely to present clear, current, and quality information. The Public Commission on the Legislature took a look at the legislative websites issue in general, and I'm not sure, and I don't recall their specific recommendations, but I know they wanted to have a better public access and use as well. Public information and outreach, in our opinion, is critical. We talk a lot about restoring credibility with the average citizens, and one way we can do that is using the technology that we do have to be more user-friendly and offer our constituents links to resources in the community, maybe to an educational group that's researching something important, food banks, as you heard, and other connections to information that they would find helpful. I think it's possible to do that and still be a responsible elected official and stay within the law. I mentioned technology. This body spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000, you might recall, to make the Capitol wireless for internet users. And it seems like we should be embracing the high-tech tools that we do have, not going the other way around and overly restricting the information that we can make available to our taxpaying citizens. If we're going to go backward and put lots of limits on what we can do with our websites, then members will probably just use their own private websites and bypass the state system entirely, which I think would be a shame and not forward moving. Some legislators are already doing that, and I guess that is their choice.
I'm a big believer personally in civics education for all ages, and if a constituent comes to my state website, I hope they might surf it and find a couple of links on bills that pertain to civics education or read up on some issues impacting their community. Oops, there we are, old picture also. Finally, I think this is a sensible solution that has safeguards for staff and a good dose of personal responsibility for we as legislators, and I urge your support for House Bill 2603. And we're happy to try to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you both, representatives, for your testimony and for bringing this bill forward. I think an excellent issue to have raised because, as Representative Thatcher mentioned, I serve on the Legislative Administration Committee. When this policy was proposed, I was not happy. And needless to say, it didn't go forward as it was originally proposed because there was a coalition that included the current speaker, myself, and Representative Scott, who didn't support it, and so there weren't the votes to get it out of committee, and that resulted in this disclaimer form that you brought before us. So I'm very glad that you've raised this. And are there questions from the committee members? And welcome, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you happen to know how many of us have signed these release forms? Did all members have to sign them?
If they wanted to have any hyperlinks, they did.
Yes, go ahead.
I noticed in the language of the bill it talks about the Legislative Administration Committee and the employees of the committee. Are the employees in that Legislative Administration office actually considered to be employees of the Legislative Administration Committee? I was surprised by the language in the bill.
That would be Legislative Council's determination, apparently, but that the intent was to, if we're asking our legislative staff, wherever they may be in the building, that work for the state, to post something, that they post it. And we'll be responsible for the content. They don't need to be the police. That was the intent.
And I think that was one of the issues that was raised, is that employees, including those of LAC who posted things, might be held liable. So, go ahead.
Well, last follow-up, I would just want to make sure, because I agree with your intent, absolutely. I would just want to make sure that the language actually does cover everyone you're intending to uncover, which is our staff, IT staff, LAC staff, and maybe the language does technically. Maybe I'm just not realizing that they're all technically considered employees of the Legislative Administration Committee.
I think our committee administrator might be able to shed some light on this.
My understanding is that, yes, that most of the employees that you see around for IS, the accounting office, our Legislative Administration Committee employees, all committee staff who are not in Ways and Means or in Revenue are Legislative Administration Committee staff.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And was that all, Representative?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Vice Chair Berger.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is just a comment. When the controversy erupted last spring, I'm not techno enough to understand what was going on. But this has helped me a ton, and I really appreciate the work that was done here to make it for us that don't tune into these things and sort of let our staff do whatever web stuff has to be done. And it's just like opened my eyes to the possibility of what I'm not doing or seeing and what we should be doing and seeing. So I really thank you for getting this in front of me and helping me to see what the issue is and how it can be resolved. Thanks.
Madam Chair, Representative Berger and members, we think this is a very basic good government bill, and it really would be helpful to everyone outside the building to be able to have some links and direction. And if I might also use another visual, this is kind of some of the controversy that brewed and some of our research, so it is not without having been thoroughly delved into.
Thanks. Representative Roblin.
Thank you very much. Sal and I were just talking down here that neither of us had
we're sure if we looked at our own websites.
Someone has. You can take care of that right now.
So, Representative Berger, we agree, and I really appreciate that you're doing this, because I think that getting it figured out for those people who know what they're doing would be really good. And I have my kids, who are all so much into this technology and do this web surfs and do all this kind of stuff all the time, will always tell me that, you know, well, you should put these hyperlinks. It's easier to get to things. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we have our own little places where we have our own little hyperlinks, because we know we go there a lot, so we can just pop in there, go there real quick, and come back. And I'm thinking, oh, it's another set of things that this next generation really does know. And if we're really trying to encourage the young people to understand and do things, like I think Representative Flores was saying, I think it is essential that we start using those tools that they are actually using on a regular basis to find things and do things. So I really appreciate the fact that this is here. So thanks very much.
And I wanted to ask you, one thing that was raised when we were discussing this a lot is that if you put links to newspaper articles, that would link to advertising that was on that newspaper's website. And that, I know, was one of the things that I ran into problems with, because I did have articles from the Statesman Journal or various newspapers. So how would that be affected by your legislation? You know?
Yeah. All I know is you would be responsible. I mean, if you're hooking up to something obviously campaign related, I think people would probably have a basis for complaining. However, if it's just to a helpful article based on things you're doing as a legislator within this body, I can't. Yeah, I guess you can keep going and digging and digging, eventually get to something objectionable. But at some, maybe that in the future needs to be clarified if it shows to be a problem. But so far, there hasn't, even with the policy that we've had to date, hasn't been a problem.
And as you said before, there has not, to my knowledge, been a single complaint about this. So it really seems like a tempest in a teapot. And Representative Rublin.
Thank you again. That brought up another question, because it wasn't the newspapers. But apparently, you guys know this better than I, apparently you can have a link to something that has a hyperlink in it, and so you get that other hyperlink. And that one could be the problem. So I guess what you're saying is we need to look at all the hyperlinks that go connected to those and make sure. Because that is frustrating. Because I think the initial... Can you take a hyperlink out about somebody else's thing?
No. I don't think you have control over that.
I don't either. That's what I was thinking.
I would think it would be... I think the intent is the initial link.
Okay, that makes
and
better to me.
If it's obviously something to do with... I'm sorry, I didn't address you correctly. But if it's something to do with... You know, your job as a legislator, right there, but maybe eventually you get to something that's related to your campaign down the road. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a, like I said, it's never been a problem.
Right, I agree. Okay, thank you.
Well, great. I think you've answered all of our questions. Once again, thank you so much for bringing this legislation forward. We are only in a public hearing this morning, but I'm quite confident that we will be taking this up in a work session very soon.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And seeing nothing further to come before us, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2603. Members, thank you again for an excellent work of excellent week. You can see it's been a long one of hard work. And with that, we are adjourned.